Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Daniel Wallach is a nationally recognized sports gaming attorney and co-founding director of the University of New Hampshire School of Law's Sports Wagering and Integrity Program. Daniel, how do you put that on a business card? Christ, I mean, my God, that is impressive. That is some heady stuff.
Doing this with Michael McCann from Sports Illustrated, you know, the Supreme Court gave birth not only to a new industry for sports betting, but it gave legal education a new vertical. And I think we're the only ones in the country to provide a, you know, sort of this multi-semester program where you could take courses in sports betting law and regulation if you're so inclined. I need a billboard, not a business card, but still, it's a pretty cool thing to do.
I need to get my son Gunner to get a scholarship to New Hampshire, and then he could become a lawyer like you, and then he could learn all about the sports betting laws in the country, and then he could follow in your footsteps. Get a free ride to college, go to New Hampshire, become a lawyer, and then get involved in sports gambling. I'm sure my wife will love that idea.
That sounds like a plan. There's plenty of room at the top, Scott. I mean, the industry has just started. Gunner could be 10 years from now getting into the industry and plenty of time. So he's officially accepted into the program.
I'm in the industry right now. I just hit the Rangers plus a goal and a half, and I hit the Blue Jackets plus a goal and a half tonight. Anyway, let me throw some numbers at you. I follow you. You know that. 6 billion expected bets this year. 4.7 billion total bet last year. 4.6 billion total illegally bet last year. Illegally, 158.5 million total legally bet in Nevada. 320 million total projected to be bet legally this year in 8 states. Those numbers, Daniel Wallach, are staggering.
Yeah, it's a lot of money for states to take advantage of. That only at this point, 8 states have really come online, and the vast majority of the market, you've quoted some of the numbers, but that's 95% or more is still in the illegal marketplace. So there's plenty of room to migrate all of that handle from offshore illegal markets into legal regulated channels. So it is a staggering number, and it's only going to grow over time as more people become engaged in wagering on sports for the first time. The black market is only a small subset of the overall potential growth for sports betting.
What do you think has happened, kind of off the record to, like, bookies in these states? Like, let's say, hypothetically, New Jersey. Now that it's legal to bet in New Jersey, where I live, what do you think that's done to the sports bookie business?
I don't think it would ever eliminate it, because if you have a relationship with a bookie going back many years, you get secrecy. You don't have to pay taxes on your winnings. And if you're dealing with a bookmaker offshore or one of your local bookies that pays out on winning wagers and you've got nothing to worry about, there's probably less of an incentive to move away from your bookie and bet, you know, at one of the racetracks or casinos where maybe the pricing isn't as good. I don't think this was ever designed to eliminate the black market entirely, but to bring transparency to most of the betting activity, because if it's all taking place offshore where it can't be monitored, I think it's difficult to safeguard integrity of sports, and it leaves a vast majority of the money unavailable for states to tax. So it will never be 100%, but I think with full nationalized sports betting, I think you'll make a serious dent in the illegal market. But those bookies in New Jersey are probably still doing quite well.
Daniel Wallach with us. So, Daniel, tell me about, update me on New York, on the situation.
Man, it's a mess, Scott. It's a mess. 6 years ago, the voters approved casino gambling in a voter referendum. And on the heels of that, the legislature allowed sports betting only at the 4 upstate casinos that have already been built. The governor believes that any further expansion of sports betting beyond those 4 upstate casinos, which are hundreds of miles away from New York City, would require an amendment to the state constitution, which would be a 2-year process where, you know, on election day next year, the voters would finally get to vote on it in November of 2020, and it would take until 2021 before you could even have mobile betting in New York. So this is really a backwards approach to sports betting, and I think Governor Cuomo is dead wrong. I think if you allow mobile, it wouldn't require a constitutional amendment. The Constitution in New York is similar to New Jersey's in that it prohibits certain types of gambling, like the actual substantive category, like bookmaking or gambling generally. It doesn't prohibit certain channels of distribution. So, for example, New Jersey allows casino gambling. They didn't have to do a separate constitutional ballot amendment just to allow online. So I think if New Jersey can do online sports betting and online casino gambling without a referendum to the voters, so too can New York. But that's where it stands right now. It is largely going to be confined to the four upstate casinos, and New York City won't even get a whiff of it unless Governor Cuomo changes his mind later this spring.
How funny is that, that this guy's ready to legalize marijuana, but he won't do the sports betting? And how jealous do you think Cuomo and New York is that New Jersey's making all this money? They've made over $1.2 billion in 6 months.
Well, look at the most successful sports book in New Jersey. It's the Meadowlands, right? 6 miles from the New York border. They're siphoning off so much business from New York City. And shortly, New York will be surrounded by states that not only have legal sports betting, but all of whom will have mobile, you know, internet sports betting, and New York will be confined to just land-based upstate. It really doesn't make any sense to me when you think about the size of the New York market. It could be the biggest market in the country.
Where is the hottest states right now for making this legal? Like, I see you always writing about D.C. and others. Where are the hot tickets for sports betting that it's going to happen next?
Oh, Massachusetts, man, they're nuts about sports. Think about the religious fervor that all the Boston sports fans bring to the Red Sox and the Patriots. And there are 5 bills that have been introduced in Massachusetts in the last 2 weeks alone. And that is a state that I peg as the most likely to legalize the activity in 2020. And it's one of the 5 biggest potential markets. So I think that's really the biggest, you know, prospect going forward this calendar year. Illinois to a lesser extent, and maybe New York, but Massachusetts is going to be different than some of the other jurisdictions because companies like DraftKings and FanDuel will be able to operate their websites without needing casino partners. In New Jersey, the only way you can have a website to offer sports bets is if one of the casinos brands you as one of their 3 online partners. Massachusetts is going to move away from that system of tethering an online platform to a land-based casino license and is going to allow open competition. So it's not an accident that DraftKings is very influential in Massachusetts. It's where they're headquartered, and I think that state will likely be legal by the fall, and for sure next year's Super Bowl can be legally wagered upon in Massachusetts. I would be shocked if it doesn't happen.
What about Daniel Wallach with us, a legendary gaming attorney and co-founding director of the University of New Hampshire School of Law, Sports Wagering and Integrity Program. Do you think, so Virginia and D.C. are on the table, and then Connecticut, it sounds like, is close?
D.C. is a little bit of a problem in that the state lottery wants to select doesn't want to have competitive bidding. You know, when the lottery or state agency operates sports betting, in most states you need a competitive bidding process. Whenever the state enters into a lucrative contract with a private party, they can't just pick any vendor at will. It has to go through competitive bidding, and the D.C. lottery wants to bypass that and select one of their favorite vendors and basically exclude companies like DraftKings, FanDuel, and all the other online platforms from the market. So that might likely go to litigation at some point this year if the D.C. Council allows the lottery to do this. But on a land-based basis, you're going to see in-stadium betting at Nats Park and at the Capital One Arena. So even if the mobile aspect of it operated by the lottery ends up in litigation, I think the sports teams and the buildings that operate sports teams will have in-stadium betting before the end of this year.
What's the problem in Florida that they have to deal with? Does some of it involve the Seminole Tribe and the Miccosukee and all that? What is going on there?
Man, they funded those two entities, basically invested $40 million into an advertising campaign to hoodwink Florida voters into passing this constitutional, you know, amendment to the Florida Constitution, which
right.
would take the issue of casino gambling out of the hands of legislators
right.
and give the citizens the right to, you know, approve it. And that basically adds another layer of approval. It's no longer good enough for the legislature to say it's allowable. It has to go to a citizen vote, which makes it doubly difficult and almost impossible. And the question is whether sports betting is considered part of casino gambling. And I've taken the position, and I've written in an article in Forbes explaining why the ballot definition of casino gambling in Florida is not broad enough to include sports betting. And as a result, I believe Florida lawmakers are empowered to legalize sports betting this session without requiring a vote of the public. And that's an issue that is going to be debated in the legislature as to whether they are allowed to do that. And I think it could be another couple of years before Florida is online, which is such a shame because it's one of the most populous states, huge tourism industry, 65 miles of beaches. I mean, in terms of attracting tourism for gambling on sports, it would be one of the most attractive jurisdictions, mainly because of the weather.
Man, Daniel, great stuff tonight. I know you were at your first radio row at the Super Bowl. I'm sure you had a blast. Thanks so much for coming on CBS Sports Radio and joining us again on the bench.
Scott, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there he is, Daniel Wallach. He's a sports gaming attorney and co-founder at the University of New Hampshire School of Law's Sports Wagering and Integrity Program. He did mention to me earlier that I had very little integrity.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.